Father, I want to ask that you would work today in our midst. Speak to us. Open our eyes that we may see deep into our souls in such a way that we want to be seen little and you be seen much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, things are not always as they appear. Wednesday night, as my mom and I were waiting there at the nursing home where my dad was being transported for rehab, we were seated at a couple of chairs there that kind of was a little cutaway in the hallway. And here come this little old lady being pushed down the hallway, a sweet little old lady. And she got up there and she looked at me and she said, "What are you doing in here?" And then turned to my mother and said, "Where did you pick up that trash? Get it out of here." And all that did was reaffirm something that I had been wrestling with for the last 10 days. And what I was wrestling with these last 10 days was something that reminded me of a theory that I put together years ago. Now, it's a theory, all right? It's not scientifically proven at this particular point, but I have seen it proven in the lives of individuals over and over and over again. And that's when life begins to wring us out, when the pressures of life, the pressures of aging, and all of these things begin to put us in that wine press, in a sense, and the squeeze begins. What leaks out? Jesus or you? See, I am convinced, this is my theory, that who I am deep down, not what people see on Sunday mornings, or when I'm hanging around my peers and friends. I'm talking about the person that really exists deep down inside of me that I try to keep hidden from individuals. I am convinced that when life begins to squeeze, that will leak out. It'll leak out. So I want to talk this morning a little bit about character, but not just character in general. I want to talk about Christian character, something that needs to be visible in our lives so that when people see me, they see him. And when they hear me, they hear him. You see, my dad was kind of a rough individual most of his life, and one of the things that I probably picked up from him was a little bit of rough language, harsh language, coarse language, bad language. And a few years ago, after I was in the ministry, my dad made a profession of faith, and I've seen some growth in his life, and he was trying to, you know, become a better man. But now that life is squeezing, I'm seeing the old man come to the surface. It's pretty hard to love the old man. Someday, you're going to get old. Some of us are getting there. And life is going to squeeze. And your loved ones care about you, and they love you, and they want to take care of you. But when that ugly old man rises to the surface, your family and loved ones will have a tough time. You see, each of us, if we know Christ as Savior, we're under construction. The old man was crucified with Christ. past tense. The problem is that I don't reckon him dead. The problem is, I really don't want Christ to shine in me. I want to still be in control. And so we're under construction, every one of us here, if we know Christ. And a change needs to take place. And the Bible says so much about character. Wednesday night, it was after 9 o'clock before I left Florida, and I was exhausted just from everything. And I knew it was going to be a tough ride. And so I had, somebody had given us here at the church cassettes of the Bible. And so I had taken them with me to listen on the way back, or listen on my travels. And so I reached in and pulled out a disc and put it in the CD player, and I picked up with Solomon and worked my way through the Kings. And I don't know if you've ever done much of a study with the Kings, but there was a lot of bad characters in the Kings. And the thing that God is bringing out as he's revealing this history to us is that character is very important to him. Who we are, how we live, how we respond to life, how we treat others. Character is so, so important. And listening to this, how this king did evil in the eyes of the Lord over and over and over and over again. Character is so important. And character is not what people see on the outside. And we're taught this as God is looking for a new king. He's rejected Saul. He's rejected Saul because of his character. He's rejected Saul because Saul has turned his eyes away from God, and he's looking for this new king, and Samuel is going to anoint the new king, and when he gets to Jesse's house and he begins to see some of the sons of Jesse, he's convinced that these guys have to be, one of them has to be it. And God said, no, 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 no. Don't look at his outward appearance, his height or his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So let me ask you a question. What does God see in me right now? What does he see in you right now? Not what we see of each other gathered together in a beautiful building, in a beautiful place, singing beautiful songs, but if I stood before him right now and he peeled away the layers, what would he see? And by the way, he doesn't have to peel the layers away. He already knows what is there. So I want to talk about Christian character. And I'm convinced it has a lot to do with taming the tongue. I really do. James spends a lot of time in there, and I was going to take and read the passage of James, but I won't take that time this morning. But James is reminding us how wicked the tongue is. The tongue is able to set forests on fire with our speech. Our tongue is filled with demonic abilities if it is not tamed. And James says, now listen, how is it that we can, if I can paraphrase a little bit and put it into Walsworth lingo, how is it that we can walk into a building and gather together and sing wonderful songs to God and then walk out and just rip into somebody? How can that be? How can that be? Jesus talked a lot about this. He says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bring forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. And he went on to say this, for by your words you will be justified, by your words, you will be condemned. What Jesus is saying here is that what flows from here comes from here. No ifs, no ands, no buts. And what flows from here is not a result of what somebody else has done to me. What flows from here comes from here. It does. Also in Matthew, Jesus said, Do you not understand that whatever enters a mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. Luke jumps in here. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, and nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of an evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. What's the context here? Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Are you following this? The fruit here is not how much ministry I accomplish. The fruit here is not how much I give to the church or to missions, how much I help at the rescue mission or the little lady across the street. The fruit that he's talking about comes from my mouth. It comes from my mouth. Because our speech reveals our heart's condition. Our speech reveals our heart condition. That's scary. That bothers me. I hope it bothers you a little bit. Because if you're like me, there's times your heart reveals things to you by your speech. And you can brush it off if you want, but that which flows from your lips is coming from your heart. And that heart has to be changed. That was the whole point of the gospel. The whole point of the Bible. You know, when we become Christians, we realize that sin was wrong and our lives were messed up, and we go to work trying to fix the heart, trying to fix these problems, trying to overcome these habits and trying to form new habits and trying to become better people, but you can't do that, nor can I do that. You see, any effort that I make of trying to overcome these things and be a different person will only work as long as things are going okay. What really needs to take place is a new heart. And that's what God said in Ezekiel. He said, a new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. That's what I need. That's what you need. You don't need to try to fix your heart. You need God to give you a new heart. I need to die. Keith Walsworth needs to die. And he was crucified on the cross of Calvary. And now it's my responsibility to allow the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who's able to change our heart. It's the process of sanctification, to where little by little, bit by bit, we become more Christ-like. And so when the life begins to wring us out, Jesus drips, not me. Jesus drips, not me. Take your Bibles, if you will, and go with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. Peter is writing, and if you know anything about Peter, you know he had to have a heart change. The old Peter wasn't a very nice Peter. But God changed his heart, and he became a great man. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 5, and that's not where I want to be. Chapter 1, yep. Chapter 1, verse 5. He says, but also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now, let me just pause there for a moment. Faith is what saves us. Faith and faith alone. It is by God's grace that we're saved by faith. But God does not want us to stop with that. Far too many of us have made a profession of Christ and figured that is all he gets. No. I died. When Keith Walsworth came to grips with his sinfulness and his need for a Savior, Keith Walsworth was to die. And what people saw from that point on was not to be the Keith Walsworth that had lived those 21 years. What people were to see from that point on was the power of God and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, that who stands, who speaks, who reacts, who responds to people is not the man he used to be. Praise God. Different. And so Peter is saying, I want you to add to your faith. And so he begins to build virtue. I think some of your translations may say goodness. But virtue, what is virtue? Well, here's a way of defining virtue. Virtue is conformity to a standard of right. Each of you have God's standard. Each of you have a copy of God's standard of what he expects of me and what he expects of you. And virtue is that moldability where I allow him to shape me and to mold me to where I am conformed in his virtue. It's a quality and the power of a trait that needs to be within me. And Peter said, I want you to add to your faith. Virtue. I want you, in a sense, to be conformed to the standard that God has given to us. Paul said, I beseech you, I beg of you, I plead with you, Christians, would you please just bring your body a living sacrifice and lay it down? No longer allowing this world to shape you and to mold you. You are to transform the way that you think. You don't think like the world thinks any longer. You think by God's standard. You think by God's standard now. So he says, add to your faith virtue. And then knowledge. He's not talking worldly knowledge here. He's talking about being able to take the word of God and allow it to just change me. It's not talking about Bible memorization. That's good. But until that Bible memorization takes a hold of my heart and that knowledge begins to shape me and mold me and help me. And then he says self-control. Does that need a lot of defining? When life begins to squeeze you and to wring you out, people aren't to see you. They're to see Jesus. Because Paul said, I live, yet it's not I, but Christ who liveth in me. We are to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that when people and life become difficult and hard and I'm beginning to be wrung out, it is Jesus that people see, not me. Perseverance. That's just simply hanging in there all the way. Life is hard. Jeff and I could share stories of difficulties in ministry. Times when you just want to take the towel and throw it all in. And walk away from the whole mess of stuff. But God reminds us that it's through those things that he shapes us. Helen Keller said this. Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved. Character's not built when things are going my way. Character is built by walking by faith and not by sight. And when life gets rough and difficult, you understand that God is still in control. I don't like this. I don't want this. But he has a purpose for it. And I am going to come out a better man because of it. Perseverance. Through the thick and through the thin. Godliness. Godliness in my life. People see God in me, in all that I do. Then brotherly kindness. And then lastly, love. Did you hear that? And lastly, love. Some of us are quick to go to 1 Corinthians, where we're told, now three exist, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And we get this mushy, gushy image of love. And I think love has more to do with loving the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and loving my neighbor as myself. You see, what I find here in Peter is nothing more than what Paul said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Remember when Jesus was crucified? Well, before he was crucified. You remember how he was arrested and tried and scourged and spit upon? And the Bible describes it as a lamb led to slaughter. As we're going through the book of Revelation, we know that the apostles are all dead except for John at this point. Life has been tough. Life has been hard. But the character that is seen in all of them in their lives is the character of God. Yes, I'm under construction. I have not yet arrived. And you're under construction as well. But the question that needs to be asked, or one of the questions that need to be asked, is this. When was the last time you laid a brick? Some of us are the same old people we were 10 years ago. Some of us, our character hasn't changed one iota since we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. We're going to be laying bricks in our lives. Character. Character that can be tested and tried. Character that reveals that the man who came to know Christ as Savior died. And the man that you see now is different. So, what was the last brick you laid in your life? Is faith the only brick you've laid in your life? Your saving faith, is that the last brick you laid? And Peter is saying, listen, with all diligence, as if your life depended on it, add to your faith these attributes, these character traits that when life begins to wring you out, you drip Jesus. You drip Jesus. Maybe the question should be, when was that last brick laid? And some of us, it's going to go all the way back to our salvation. Shame on me. I'm supposed to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. And if I love him, I want to please him. And in order for me to please him, I want people to see him in me. A lot of change has to take place. A lot of change has to take place. So we're to be building Christian character. The question is, are we? Let's be honest. Are we really striving to build this Christian character so that regardless of what happens in life, the way I respond is Jesus. The way I speak, they hear him. They see him. That this is my standard. and I strive to become more like him. Yeah, I listened to all those kings as I was traveling, and my heart just kind of sank. There were so many in the Old Testament that lacked character. So many that God describes as individuals who did not honor the Lord with their lives. And here we are on the other side of the cross, and his love has been displayed in such dimensions to where we just look at the cross and we understand the sacrifice that was made in order to save rascals like me. And yet I wonder, as God looks down at this body of believers right here, right now, this morning, and he's not looking at the outward appearance. He doesn't care whether I have a tie on or not. But he cares about my heart. He cares about your heart. Oh, that we would be more like him. Would you pray with me? With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, what does God see in your heart today? Does he like what he sees? Do you like what you see? Maybe it's time for each of us just to recommit and say, oh God, forgive me. I don't want to live any longer, the old man. I don't want that to happen. I want you to live through me and shine through me so that when people see me, hear me, they know that I've been with Jesus. Father, work in our hearts and our minds. I know that before any of this can take place, we must first have a relationship with Christ, and that relationship begins with a point in our life where we turn from our sins and cry out to you and receive the salvation that's found in Jesus Christ alone and what he accomplished on the cross of Calvary. And by coming to know him, we become your child. There's no longer any condemnation. We become yours. But then the work begins. Not working for my salvation or working in order to please you, but working to where I become more like my Savior, that you can be glorified in all that I do and all that I say, so that when I am old and life begins to wring me out, I want my loved ones to see Jesus. I don't want them to hear the old Keith Walsworth. I don't want them to have to endure that. I want them to find joy in caring for a man that drips Jesus. I pray that that's each of our prayers. In Christ's name I ask. Amen.